for you.
And a golf like this.
I hear you saying often that you're not turned on to politics. But let me bring to bear the lessons of history. If you're not turned on to politics, the lesson of history is that politics will turn on you. So, let's start the countdown. Those who are excessively greedy and excessively powerful must give up their privileges. They must give up some of their power. Big business has been colliding with American democracy. American democracy has been losing. We can have a democratic society, or we can have the concentration of great wealth in the hands of a few. We cannot have both. Now imagine what can happen if political campaigns began paying attention to controlling what we are. We'd have our own radio station, our own television station, our own cable channel. It is time for a change. The system is not working. Now, look at your late evening news, if you can bear it. Look at it. It's 30 minutes, 9 minutes of ads, 3 minutes of street crime right at the beginning, never corporate crime, very superficially covered, 1 minute of impromptu chit-chat between the anchors, 4 minutes of weather, 4 minutes of sports, and that's what happened in your town tonight? And we own the public airways. It's a disgrace.
This channel has been liberated by the Rilla News Network.
By the way, by now you know I'm not using the teleprompter.
Hear ye, hear ye. Put down your crack pipes and get up here. Well, what can we say about the past couple days besides the people have spoken? Law and order broke down among the police department today. But now that I hear people are being pepper sprayed inside of buses, yeah, they did overreact today. I mean, way less protesters, way more arrests. On Channel 7 clearly had footage of them pepper spraying people who were shopping or trying to get home from work for the office. Some of it maybe was because they had so many other cops from other departments. It was that old who's on first, who's on second. Oh, I don't know. I think I'll just fuck some people up. Spray, 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 spray.
Just as global crises are trumpeted as reasons to centralize government power, the media also manipulates local events to serve that goal as well. Street demonstrators turn the area of the World Trade Organization conference into a war zone. Over 500 National Guardsmen and state police are called in to help restore order in what became known as the Battle of Seattle. For those who orchestrate these events, it's the illusion that counts.
I'm going to focus on what the other side says and what you say back.
The media-appointed spokesperson for the anti-WTO forces is Laurie Wallach. She heads up Global Trade Watch. Ignored by the media is the fact that Wallach's organization receives funding from the Ford Foundation, which is closely tied to the CFR. The friendly relationship between Wallach and the CFR agenda was made clear in Foreign Policy magazine, a major conduit for CFR thinking. This issue signals media leaders that Laurie Wallach should be represented as an expert on trade issues. By ensuring that only false opposition is offered to his revolutionary agenda, the CFR internationalists can't lose. Up next, discover how support for world government is generated as we examine some of the biggest stories in recent decades. The disturbing truth begins behind the big news.
Because, I mean, I have one aim. Hey, my aim is bring this tape inside. Because there is a lot of interviews to the people that they want to say something to them. And so I'm a kind of messenger.
Messenger.
Messengers. And so my aim is bring this tape inside the meeting. Because I think that it's time that they have to hear us.
In the ancient town of Genoa, Italian media tycoon cum prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi, hosted a gathering of the eight leaders of the most powerful industrial democracies in the world. To ensure their voices were heard, over 200,000 people traveled to Genoa to highlight the increasing role corporations were having in the running of their country.
To the Global Civil Society, to the Italian Defense Committee, Chief of Staff, to the Italian Government, the Prime Minister, the President of the Republic of Italy, to the U.S. Army Chief of Staff, American Embassy in Rome, to the CIA Office, SISDE Headquarters. We learn from the Italian media that in a meeting held in Rome on May the 24th, the Italian and the U.S. government have decided to declare war to the multitude of brothers and sisters that will gather in Genoa against the G8 meeting scheduled for July. Your choice to deploy your armies and special forces against humanity takes you closer to your allies in the global south, where every day they kill, starve and persecute those who don't accept the neoliberal exploitation. All over the planet, your soldiers use guns against the ideas and the dreams about a different world, a world that would include other worlds. In your Genoa meeting, too, you want to impose a world that is exclusive, a world where the only ideology is that of money, profit, market, goods and body. Your world is an empire. You are the emperor, and billions of people are simply your subjects. From the outskirts of this empire, from the several worlds that resist and grow dreaming of a better life for all, today we, rebel subjects, formally declare war on you. This is a choice that you made because we do prefer peace. And this decision will mean defying your arrogance and your power. But we have to do it. It is our duty to try to stop you in order to end injustice. It is our duty to give voice to our brothers and sisters of the world who are suffering because of you. It is our duty not to surrender to the fear of your armies and to raise our heads. It is our duty because we declare war only when we are obliged to do so.
Security forces are also prepared for violence, watching every corner of the city from the high-tech command center. There are checkpoints at the barricades, scrutinizing everyone going into the summit, and if the groups of anarchists who are plotting a violent attack manage to break through, the police have 5,000 reinforcements brought in from Rome.
But there are cameras that have been placed around the city, and the person with the right to that footage is Berlusconi.
Okay, yes.
So if international media want to get footage of him, they have to pay him for this footage. So he's making money.
Sì, ho capito, è una bad situation, you know.
As the streets shook the sounds of dissent, the first Italian independent media center was established to report on the G8 meeting.
There were plenty of computers, telephone lines, mobile phones, and then different sort of equipment, and people were broadcasting.
The protests became international news when police shot dead one demonstrator.
Taking place in other European states and outside Europe as well. Given that we were asking the Italian government to ensure that any officers taking part in the G8 policing operation would exercise maximum restraint in their treatment of demonstrators, and also that they would ensure that they were aware of and acted at all times in accordance with the relevant international human rights and standards. Now, we listed those standards in the letter to the Italian government. Those would be the right of freedom of assembly, the right of freedom of expression, the right to be free of arbitrary arrest and detention, international standards on the use of force and firearms by law enforcement officers, the fundamental rights of people deprived of their liberty, and the right not to be subjected to torture and cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment, the right to have have your relatives informed of your whereabouts to a third party, the right of foreign nationals to have prompt access to consular officials, the right of prompt access to a legal counsel of their choice, the right to prompt and adequate medical care, the right to be informed of your rights, of any charges against you, and in a language you understand, the right to humane conditions of detention. Well, unfortunately, as I said, these are the rights we asked the Italian government to respect before G8. When we wrote again after the G8 Genoa, we had to point out that Amnesty had received numerous reports of the violations of all these rights. We wrote at the end of July, and we're still waiting for a reply to that letter.
Just after midnight, police raided the Independent Media Center and the shooting area offices.
But the subsequent assault on the headquarters of the peaceful coordinators of the peaceful protests by the Italian police was an absolute disgrace. There is no disputing that the Italian government is attempting to distance itself from it. Everybody is pretending it's somebody else's responsibility.
When police finally left, blood stained the walls and floors. Cameras were smashed and computers lay destroyed, their hard drives ripped out. Dozens of people were hospitalized. None of the TV channels owned by the Italian premier reported the brutal attack.
Establishment media employs many deceptions to support the drive for global power.
Again, tonight, let's say something absolutely outrageous. There will be very little on the news about this whole issue. And what there is will be probably fixed in a very, very small time frame. And yet, the issues that you're debating here, and the types of issues that you raised just a moment or two ago, absolutely vital for the whole future of humankind. And it's a debate I think the public, if it were allowed to, would be far more interested in discussing that and coming to terms with that debate and engaging in it.
Globalisation campaigners echo Tony Blair's belief that the media is failing to report important issues. Possibly the strongest challenge to the media monopoly is emerging from a rapidly growing network of volunteer-run independent media centres. Globalisation of trade is expanding rapidly, but many are left wondering if the media are offering a clear analysis of the critical voices.
Somebody burns a flag, for instance. That's what you see in the front of the paper, in the front page. But you don't see these 250,000 people peacefully protesting.
Pretty much usually one-sided and misrepresent what's really going on.
In this program, we explore the impact which new technology is having on the role of the traditional news gatherer. Growing use of camcorders, offering the public a truer picture of world events.
In the United States, surveys have shown as many as 70% of the people, viewers, are unhappy with television. When they're actually asked about it, they say, it sucks. Okay. The same thing is true within the media itself. As many as 70% of the journalists who work inside media are unhappy with the product of many media companies. So you have a great deal of dissatisfaction and searching for alternatives.
The mainstream news media. And the two planes collide. Horrific or dramatic events alone create strong emotional responses. Add to that sweeping statements that stir public fear.
The police can't stop it.
Reports of war, nuclear threats, natural disasters, scandals, and murders often filled the daily news for reasons other than to inform. Preying upon fears viewers have concerning death and destruction is so frequently practiced by major news that most viewers are desensitized to the actual intent of the reports themselves.
Good evening. There are new and dire predictions tonight about the future of our planet. Around the world, glaciers are in full retreat. Some, like the ancient ice cap on Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, could be gone in a decade or two. It's a dramatic symptom of the warming of the Earth, detailed in a new 1,000-page United Nations report, Climate Change 2001. It predicts the new century will bring, and I quote, large-scale and possibly irreversible changes affecting every last person on Earth.
Today's population has already set off an environmental spiral, depleting the world's forests and contributing to overfishing and overgrazing. Soil is being eroded, which in turn is hurting crop production, leading to starvation.
This is punishment, say scientists, for sins of the past, the end result of years of pollution, wildfires year-round in California. That 500-year flood that devastated Grand Forks, North Dakota, occurring every 5 years. Greenhouse gases that stay in the atmosphere 100 years after their release. It is a doomsday scenario detailed in a report sponsored by the United Nations.
Sweltering summers, rising sea levels, more droughts, more violent storms. Global warming is real, the new report declares, and humans are helping to cause it.
Today, more than any time in the last 50 years, we are closer to a global economic consensus.
Globalization is probably one of the greatest things to happen in human history when you think about it properly.
In our world, one world. In our world, one world. In our world, one world.
World Bank.
I do think that the unions are starting to look at this from a global standpoint. I think it's just a matter of time here before, once they see, you know, the lack of democracy in this situation here in our nation's capital, that they will act, and I hope they call for a general strike myself.
We're really building a movement here, and this is our political moment, and we're telling the world that we know what they're doing, what they're meaning about, what kinds of decisions they're making that are affecting our people, and that we're just not going to take it anymore.
It's the bad things that are being globalized, like inequality, like environmental injustice. And so what we are trying to do is, we're globalizers as well, but we're globalizing our resistance to capital.
Suddenly the world is hearing a different voice and saying, the young people of this country do not want to participate in this. They are rejecting that system of privilege creation and saying, we want a different world based on justice. We want a different world based on equality. We want a different world that uses the scarce resources of this earth with respect and sustainability. And to me, the most touching part of what is happening right now is the young people of America have voted against American imperialism, American consumerism, which is what globalization is all about.
We've already succeeded. We've already succeeded. Whether or not that meeting goes on or not, people in middle America, people across this country are going to, what is the IMF? Why are these people out here acting a fool? They're going to start to look at this. They're going to start to ask questions and wonder about it. And the fact that this has been brought up at all is a success.
Beginning to look at issues. It's not about a group of people trying to lock arms and just keep those people out. But we're seeing all the attacks in every area of our life. Guess what? We know that we need to resist, but more than that, we need to win. We've been resisting a long time. We're battling now to win.
The elite class was sort of panicking, you know, after Seattle especially. So they sort of were looking for the reason. And the only name you can point at was John Selvan.
If you're looking for a mind behind the movement, it's definitely John Searsman. He has written this one book, basically thinks that in order to save the world, we have to go back to Stone Age. And the way to get there is to destroy the industries and everything.
I find it kind of curious or strange that I've been called the architect of the tactic of property damage or the black bloc kind of activity. That certainly isn't true.
Searsman lives a very, very modest life. And for example, for a long time, his only income, he was making money by giving his own blood.
We're trying to encourage the questioning. Just the questioning.
Have a duty not only to share our wealth, but also to encourage sources that produce wealth.
Yeah! Why do people go out there and try to protest or try to you know, do something. That isn't mindless violence. I mean, the mindlessness is sitting there doing dope, watching MTV, and then you go and get a job and you just schlep along. And that's, to me, that's violent. Targeted property damage or property destruction is necessary. It's just, it does break out of the confines of the politics as usual. What do you achieve by holding a sign, doing the protest as usual stuff? I've seen decades of it. It doesn't do anything. People pay no attention. Why should they pay any attention? It's not worthy of attention. But when people fight, that is something. It does grab the attention, and it should, because it's real stuff. It isn't just a symbolic game of, oh, it makes me feel good, I have my sign and stuff. Well, I don't care about that. If it was valid, if it was not ineffective, much better. I would much rather have a nice, polite, peaceful, nobody is put in danger, nobody gets hurt, no one gets arrested, nobody gets hit in the head by a cop, and not even a window is broken. Ideal. Except it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Property damage, property damage, property destruction, property damage, property damage, property destruction, property destruction, property damage, property damage, property destruction, property destruction, property damage, property damage, property destruction, 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 destruction.
Get back their own culture again. You will have a new set of values. There will be a big paradigm shift, a big global mind shift, where people will suddenly say, I don't want a fancy car. Where people will suddenly say, I don't want another Big Mac. Where people will suddenly say, I don't want to wear any diesel jeans where people will suddenly say, I want to have a simple, fulfilling life. Where people will suddenly say, I want to have a simple, fulfilling life.
I want to something else.
A simple, fulfilling life.
Yeah!
It is a new world. This is followed by the emergence of the bold and artistic human man, such as the works of art and also the works of science. I think the scientists, however skeptical, are bound to admit that the universe or nature or whatever we may call it is created. So it has produced creative men. It has produced Shakespeare, like Angelo and Mozart, and just indirectly their work.
There is an indefinable, mysterious power that pervades everything. I feel it, though I do not see it. I can see that in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists. Things I gather have gone with life, truth, light. He is love.
You're in a free zone in Babylon.
Open your eyes and feel good.
Turn on a light. Hold someone's hand. We are going to have you imagine your worst fears, your worst nightmares.
Thank you.
that American is a dead one.
Continue as I speak. Ground forces are not engaged. This conflict started August 2nd when the dictator of Iraq invaded a small and helpless neighbor. Kuwait, a member of the Arab League and a member of the United Nations, was crushed. Its people brutalized. 5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle has been joined. We will not fail. As I report to you, air attacks are underway against military targets in Iraq. We are determined to knock out Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb potential. We will also destroy his chemical weapons facilities. Much of Saddam's artillery and tanks will be destroyed. Our operations are designed to best protect the lives of all the coalition forces by targeting Saddam's vast military arsenal. And then, when peace is restored, it is our hope that Iraq will live as a peaceful and cooperative member of the family of nations. Some may ask, why act now? Why not wait? The answer is clear. The world could wait no longer. While the world waited, Saddam sought to add to the chemical weapons arsenal he now possesses an infinitely more dangerous weapon of mass destruction, a nuclear weapon. And while the world waited, while the world talked peace and withdrawal, Saddam Hussein dug in and moved massive forces into Kuwait. While the world waited, while Saddam stalled, more damage was being done to the fragile economies of the third world, the emerging democracies of Eastern Europe, to the entire world, including to our own economy. While the world prayed for peace, Saddam prepared for war. The time was on his side. Saddam was warned over and over again. Tonight, 28 nations, countries from five continents, Europe and Asia, Africa and the Arab League, have forces in the Gulf area standing shoulder to shoulder against Saddam Hussein. These countries had hoped the use of force to be avoided. Regrettably, we now believe that only force will make him leave.
Justin, you were looking at obviously very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
The plane was coming in. I noticed it a second before it hit the building. It looked like it was moving slowly, and it lined itself up to hit the building directly.
Doorman told me, wow, I've never seen a plane flying so low. And we looked out at it, all of a sudden, boom, it seemed like it wasn't even real.
I'd say the hull takes about 6-7 floors are taken out.
Danger. We call
the Taliban regime in controlling most of that country. In Afghanistan, we see Al-Qaeda's vision for the world. Afghanistan's people have been brutalized. Many are starving, and many have fled. We can be jailed for only a television. Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists, and every government that supports them. Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated. Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate what they see right here in this chamber. A democratically elected government. They stand against us because we stand in their way. They follow in the path of fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism in every nation, in every region. Now they have a decision to make. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Any nation that continues to harbor or support terrorism will be regarded by the United States as a hostile regime. So tonight I announce the creation of a cabinet-level position, reporting directly to me, the Office of Homeland Security. The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows. And tonight, a few miles from the Danish Pentagon, I have a message for our military. Be ready. And there is a reason. The hour is coming when America will act, and you will make us proud. We ask every nation to join us. We will ask and we will need the help of police forces, intelligence service, and banking systems around the world. An attack on one is an attack on all. The civilized world is rallying to America's side. They understand that if this terror goes unpunished, their own cities, their own citizens, may be next. Terror unanswered can not only bring down buildings, it can threaten the stability of legitimate governments. And you know what? We're not going to allow it. Terrorist attack, a symbol of American prosperity. They didn't touch its source. Freedom and fear, justice and cruelty have always been at war. And we know that God is not neutral between them, and may He watch over the United States of America.
They're Al-Qaeda.
Saddam Hussein, what was killed? Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass death.
Weapons of mass destruction. Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons.
Develop nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons. We now know that Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons. Among other sources, we've gotten this from first-hand testimony from defectors, including Saddam's own son-in-law.
Delay in decision and inaction could lead to a massive and sudden horror. Take action before it's too late.
We will not wait. As President Bush has said, time is not on our side.
A clear threat to the United States.
And the dozens of ballistic missiles. It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Weapons are equally
biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agents.
Chemical weapons, including VX, sarin, mustard gas.
The danger to our country is grave. The danger to our country is growing. The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons. And according to the British government, the Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes after the order was given. The regime has long-standing and continuing ties to terrorist organizations. And there are Al-Qaeda terrorists inside Iran. The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb.
not so sure the world of the United States is going around the world and say, this is where it's got to be. We can help. And maybe it's just our difference in government.
Where we do government.
And I want to empower people.
I want to help people help themselves.
Not have government tell people what to do. Now, we trust freedom. We know freedom is a powerful, powerful, a powerful force, much bigger than the United States of America.
As we saw recently in the Balkans.
I think the real reasons behind the Iraq War lie in almost a kind of philosophical and geopolitical vision of the neoconservatives who dominate our foreign policy establishment today. And that is the belief that the United States does dominate the world as the world's sole superpower. It must assert its power globally, everywhere, and that anyone who resists this or defies American power is absolutely unacceptable and becomes automatically very much the enemy.
So it's you who should be justifying the evident bias which is written on every line on your face and is in every nuance of your voice and is loaded in every question that you ask.
Can I ask you about a report that's in today's Sunday Telegraph, which says that Iran has given Hezbollah long-range missiles capable of targeting any part of Israel. Iran, according to this Iranian entity who helped found Hezbollah, has also said that Iran has given the authorization to target Tel Aviv. Can you blame Israel for wanting to destroy those missiles?
This is preposterous. America has given Israel missiles that can target not just every city in Lebanon, but every city in the Arab and Muslim world, including Iran. Why should America be allowed to give long-range missiles to Israel, including hundreds of nuclear missiles, but Iran is not allowed to give missiles?
The 4 weeks that we've seen, as you mentioned, the 26 days of this crisis, has set back Hezbollah's ambitions. Not only are Israeli soldiers now over the border. Let me finish. Would you mind letting me finish, please? Not only are Israeli soldiers over the border in sizable numbers, but also their claims to be a good political organization to help a democratic Lebanese government with the Syrians, who've also now left an independent state, that has also come to blows as well.
Silly question. What a silly person you are.
Wie viele Menschen, wie viele Tausende von Menschen muss man eigentlich ermorden, um jemanden wie Donald Rumsfeld als Massenmörder bezeichnen zu dürfen?
President of the John Birch Society, John F. McManus.
The Democrats are out, the Republicans are in, the Democrats are in, and the socialistic internationalist program, the pro-UN attitude, continues.
In a society that believes in nothing, fear becomes the only agenda.
And now, Mouseketeers, here's something we want you always to remember.
Almost all religions preach that love is the supreme virtue, and a few spiritual teachers, perceiving that we are all gifted at loving what pleases us, teach that the highest, the most edifying forms which might ultimately save the world, involve our regard for those it is difficult to love, some of whom are our enemies.
Kennedy made a speech at American University in June of the year before he died. He said, we live in one world, we got to breathe in the same air, and we got to live together, we're going to die together.
What happened?
There's a great deal of distrust of the United States around the world.
They see a continuum of the Crusades in every action as the West gains more power.
And their fear is that the United States is like a Goliath that can stride around the earth breaking things.
They don't all trust our motives.
We're also making life difficult around the world in a number of other countries. So,
as a consequence, recently we have not been doing very much real education, which is why there's so much cynicism, pessimism, apathy.
When Thomas Aquinas appeared on the Meeting of Minds shows, one of the many fascinating things he said was that he had learned a great deal from his enemies, by which he meant his philosophical opponents. We don't seem to be able to learn anything from philosophical opponents.
And the danger is that many of us may start to equate Islam with the terrorists.
The anger, hatred, and rage we are feeling in our hearts as Americans.
Military might cannot reclaim what we have lost inside ourselves.
Hopefully, we will come away with as few lives lost as we can. We have already lost way too many.
For 200-odd years, this nation has counted on the military to defend itself against these sorts of threats. And now the threat is here at home.
What happened? I thought we lived in a safe playground of a world where my career was the only thing I had to think about. And suddenly there's a larger, desperate, dangerous world. Explain it to me. What's it about? This isn't the world you promised me. This isn't the world you told me about. This isn't the world in which only private things count.
So it really comes down to a very basic choice that we have to make as a civilization. Either we will learn to bury the animosities of our ethnocentric militant traditions and come to understand that Earth's survival depends on our collective, unified participation, or we will sustain this cycle of violence and revenge until humanity is returned to the status of primitivity and Earth reduced to the rubble of antiquity. It's really up to us. It really is.
Good night.
And we're sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower. And I was like, TV was obviously on. And I used to fly myself, and I said, "This one is terrible." And I said, "It must have been a horrible accident."
Our time today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production. This is a regional issue. I say a regional issue because there's a lot of countries that have got a direct stake in whether or not North Korea has nuclear weapons. South Korea, of course, is a state. Japan, that's a significant state. I think war is a dangerous place.
It'll take time to restore chaos.
We had a hill bump, 12 hours, and it was all over, I walked up.
work for the end.
Isn't the end, it's the beginning of wars to come, all around the world, at the whim of the neocons in the White House. This is the Bush Doctrine come to life. War, war, and more war. War brought to you by the big corporate masters who run the show. This isn't just a war on Iraqis or Afghanis or even Arabs or Muslims. It is ultimately a war on us all. That's because billions and billions of dollars that are being spent on this war, the cost of tanks, rocketry, bullets, and yes, even salaries for the 125,000 plus troops, is money that will never be spent on education, on healthcare, on the reconstruction of crumbling public housing, or to train and place the millions of workers who have lost manufacturing jobs in the past 3 years alone. The war in Iraq is, in reality, a war against the nation's workers and the poor, who are getting less and less while the big defense industries are making a killing, literally. What's next? Iran? Syria? North Korea? Venezuela? We've already seen the corporate media play megaphone to the White House to build and promote a war based on lies. War is utilized by the imperialists, first and foremost, to crush internal enemies. We're seeing the truth of his insight when we see the sad state of American education, the rush of seniors to buy affordable medications from the Canadians because American drugs are just too expensive, the threatened privatization of Social Security, and the wave of repression that comes with an increasingly militarized police. This is a war on all of us. And the struggle against war is really a struggle for a better life for the millions of folks who are in need here in this country. The fight against the war is really to fight for your own interests, not the false interests of the defense industries or the corporate media or the White House. Down with the wars for empire. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
Diesen Orso Herr Fuß. Dann wollen wir mal Ihre Umfragewerte. So, das sieht nicht gut aus. Und Sie wollen sich wirklich nicht auf die Couch legen? Haben Sie Angst, als Schwächling zu wirken, wenn Sie liegen? Hm. Woher meinen Sie, kommt dieser Zwang, um jeden Preis stärker zu zeigen? Erzählen Sie mir von Ihrer Mutter.
Ich bin von einer sehr, sehr starken Frau großgezogen worden, meiner Mutter, die ich sehr liebe.
Mhm. Starke Mutter, abwesender Vater, Störung des männlichen Selbstbildes, wahrscheinlich Ödipus-Komplex. Herr Busch, wie ist Ihr Verhältnis zu Frauen im Allgemeinen? Sie haben ja neulich Angela Merkel gesprochen, und wie ist der eine Frau?
Nein, wenn ich mit Angela spreche, dann habe ich nicht das Gefühl, jetzt sprichst du mit einer Frau.
Na gut, das ist normal. Kommen wir zu Ihrem militärischen Angriff auf den Iran. Irak. Entschuldigung, falscher Versprecher. Meinen Sie nicht, dass die zwanghafte Fixierung auf Phallus-Symbole wie Panzerrohre, Pipelines oder Ölfördertürme, die immer wieder kraftvoll ins Erdreich stoßen, die Sublimierung eines gestörten Vater-Sohn-Verhältnisses ist?
So habe ich das noch nie gesehen. Eine interessante Frage.
Ihr Golfkrieg kostet ja mehr Tote, ist teurer und vor allem viel länger als der von Ihrem Herrn Barbar. Das ist Ihnen schon wichtig, gell? Mhm. Sie wollen also als Kriegspräsident in die Annalen eingehen. Machen also gerade eine anale Phase durch. Sie hatten ja das Problem, dass Sie überall Massenvernichtungswaffen gesehen haben. Tja, Herr Busch, Sie sind unheilbar. Servus, Herr Busch.
And again, an individual, even well-informed, can't stop this thing by himself. So the purpose of our educational efforts is to get thousands and tens of thousands of individuals informed.
Truth. It's the foundation upon which freedom is built. And it's one of the strongest weapons against the revolutionary agenda behind the big news.